Middays with Mannix and Mannix.
I was going to listen to that, but then I just carried on living my life.
With Jeff Mannix.
What kind of bear is best? Black bear.
And Taylor Mannix.
I'm a Tony Romo fan and he retired, so now I bleed green. Go Birds!
Call 207-775-2217 or 1-866-811-9505.
Phone is ringing. Oh my God.
Every single thing that every fan does at home or at the stadium makes a direct impact in the game.
It's about to get all stupid up in here!
Middays with Mannix and Mannix begins now. Here's Jeff and Taylor.
The weather outside is weather.
It's called Two Brothers. Two Brothers. It's just called Two Brothers.
You're Larry Bird.
Good afternoon! And welcome into our lunch hour on Middays with Mannix and Mannix, presented by Heidi's Brooklyn Deli in South Portland and Auburn. Order on Uber Eats, Grubhub, and DoorDash. Heidi's Brooklyn Deli, a labor of love since 1994. Jeff and Taylor, we are on the microphones, and we'll get back to your phone calls in a little bit. The Portland Sea Dogs are opening up a six-game series on the road tonight in Reading, Pennsylvania, against the Reading Fightin' Phils. Here to update us on everything Portland Sea Dogs is their broadcast voice. We welcome back to the show Emma Tiedemann. Emma, thanks for being here once again. How are you at the start of a new baseball week?
You know, excited to see this this series play out, considering we're fighting for that playoff spot.
Yeah, that's right. This is probably a good time to remind folks of the playoff formats and all that in the Eastern League, because it is a split season, first half and second half. So if you could kind of update where everybody is right now in that playoff race.
Yeah, in the Northeast Division right now, there's four different teams within a game and a half of each other, so it'll be a fight to the finish. Hartford right now in first place, New Hampshire second place, half a game back, Somerset third place, a game back, and then Portland in fourth place, just a game and a half out of first behind Hartford. And the first half wraps up after the end of next week's series against the Somerset Patriots, so of course some Double A Red Sox Yankees drama to hopefully send somebody to the playoff. But the first half wraps up in 2 weeks, and you got four teams right now in the division fighting for that playoff spot.
What kind of advantages does it bring for you to win this? I know it's kind of obvious, but for those fans who don't pay attention too much to it, what kind of advantages does it bring to a team who can secure that spot this early? And also maybe what disadvantages have you seen maybe it bring to a team?
Yeah, I've seen it both ways. With my previous team in Lexington, we won the first half and then saw all of our players promoted because, you know, if your team's winning that first half championship, there's a pretty good reason why, and you've got some pretty good players on your team. However, I think it's a good test of the depth of the minor league organization itself. There's plenty of guys in Greenville, if that was to happen, that are just knocking on the door, just needing an opportunity to come up to Portland. And so I think it would be a really cool thing to see how the Red Sox depth is by the end of the season when the playoffs would start. And then on the other side, too, I mean, we could start selling tickets and really start selling out the ballpark for those games as well. So, you know, I think it's a really fun atmosphere to have around this time of year when we're right around the halfway point. Get some good momentum, and then it carries you into the second half pretty nicely.
Absolutely. And, of course, the most recent series you guys played was at home last week. Speaking of the division leaders, the Hartford Yard Goats, 3-3, a split there as you took the final game on Sunday to officially split that series. Ultimately, you know, what was the last games here at Delta Dental Park like for the home side?
I mean, the last game was a little bit rainy. We saw phenomenal pitching from both starters. Gage Deal with 6 innings for Portland, 8 strikeouts, only gave up a run. And it was in the first inning, and then he was just nails the rest of his outing. So it was a really good pitching matchup. And then we had to unfortunately go into a weather delay in the bottom of the sixth inning, and it was about an hour and a half. I mean, in those situations, you never know really what kind of game you're going to get after that sort of break. But it was the Sea Dogs leading 2-1, and then just an absolute blast by Brooks Brannon. 115 miles an hour exit velocity off the bat, 463 feet towards 295 over the main monster. Just really sealed the deal for Portland in the eighth inning, and I think with some good momentum, you got both sides working well with the offense and pitching to take us into this week.
Yeah, and looking at that series last against Hartford, I know it was one of those swing series, and it obviously goes a split. How do you think that played out for you guys? Like, why do you think it led to a split? Because I know early in that series, you guys put up 19 runs, shut them out 9-0 on the night of the fireworks. So it seemed like early on in that series, you guys really had the bats going and the pitching. And then throughout it, obviously, in the middle portion of that, it looked like maybe the pitching got away from you guys. How did you see it, Emma, unfold in front of you throughout this process?
Yeah, I just think it just kind of leveled off. And looking at the numbers going into last week's series, Hartford and Portland, we were just neck and neck in every statistical category, it seemed like. And you go back and you look at the last series we played in Hartford, and most of those games came down to the ninth inning or even extra innings as well. So we knew that this was going to be a pretty evenly matched, series. And you had, you know, Anthony Ionson going on Tuesday, who he's basically an automatic 5 or 6 shutout innings. And then the offense, I think, for Hartford just kind of woke up after that a little bit. So you saw some good battles after that. I mean, even on the losing games, nothing was really out of hand. They were all 1-run or 2-run games, whether Portland was winning those or losing those. So I think it was really a statement series, even though it was a split, that Portland can hang with that top team right now in the division and beat them at times, meaning that, you know, maybe Portland can take that top spot by the end of the first half.
Yeah, and obviously you mentioned the outing from Ionson there, who, I mean, he's been very impressive, certainly, since coming up to this Portland Sea Dogs team. But, I mean, do you see his consistency getting better? You know, how is he looking on the mound from your trained eye?
He is very well polished, very impressive, very professional. He goes out, attacks the zone, has a wonderful selection of pitches in his tool belt he can always go to. I mean, he put up 5 shutout innings on Tuesday against this Hartford team who was really, really talented. And in that outing, he gave up 5 hits, but none of them were for extra bases. He's giving up just weak contact, rarely walking anyone. He's only issued just a few walks in his 4 starts so far, a 2-0 record, already has been named Eastern League Pitcher of the Week. He is very, very impressive. Definitely reminds me of Peyton Tolle on the mound a little bit about how he conducts himself. Obviously, Tolle, an anomaly by himself, but the way that he attacks the zone, doesn't seem to get bothered by runners on base when they rarely do happen. And he's able to adjust. He's able to go multiple times through an order. You'll see him, you know, use 1 or 2 pitches maybe that first time through, and then here comes the curveball a little bit more. Here comes the cutter that second time through. So he's able to really go deep into ball games when needed.
Yeah, and Emma, also just kind of looking at some of these pitchers that have been out there. I believe it's Gage Zeal came over from that Chicago White Sox trade last year when the Red Sox sent Jordan Hicks and David Sandlin, who I know is a favorite there with the Portland Sea Dogs a little bit last year too. But he has a great outing in his last time out. How has his development gone, and what have you made of his presence in the organization? I know it's only been really this season that you guys have been able to get your eyes on him.
Yeah, you know, he's a guy who just throws strikes. He is kind of similar to Ionson. He's only walked 9 in 43 and a third innings so far, so with 49 strikeouts. So when he is pitching, the ball can be put into play because he's throwing strikes. But, you know, you look at the defense behind him with guys like Franklin Arias and Marvin Alcantara, he gets out. So I think he's really effective in that that side of things, and then he can go deep into ball games too. 6 innings on Sunday for the finale. You know, I think, you know, there was obviously a pitching change in the 7th because of that rain delay. I the way he was cruising, he might have been able to pitch that 7th inning. So he can give you depth. He can, another similar guy, he's got a lot of pitches to go to, doesn't give up a ton of hard contact, and just stays locked in. So it's fun to see how really locked in on the zone he is.
Yeah, that certainly is good news. And this pitching staff, for the most part, has been pretty good over the course of the season here. I mean, you've already got, what is it, four or five guys who are 45 strikeouts or more on this team, led by Hayden Mullins, 54. Overall here, I mean, it seems like the pitching has progressed over the season. Would you say that is a good observation?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it also shows the number of just Pitcher of the Week awards that we've already have with Ianson and Patrick Halligan, John Hollibetz. I mean, you name it, the Sea Dogs have basically won just about every award you can so far this season. But yeah, you know, I think it says a lot about the starters. You know, we saw a little bit of a shaky April to start as they were trying to get used to pitching up in Maine and in the Northeast in wintertime, which was still technically April. And then you see the bullpen really starting to lock in. Patrick Halligan has been really, really impressive. And then Blake Wehunt, you know, 2-3 record, but a 3.45 ERA in May. He was just lights out on the mound. So you see those guys who are in Portland for that second season clicking, which is really cool to see. And to be able to see a starter have a phenomenal start and then to hand the ball off to the bullpen closes it out, it's pretty special to see.
Yeah, and you get Reading tonight, 7 o'clock start for you guys down against Reading. Last time you guys played them, it was back in Portland, and I mean, you really took it to them. I mean, you beat them 5 out of the 6 times you played them in Portland. The only loss coming on Paw Patrol Day, that stinks for the kids. but what do you say about this Reading team? Do you expect this same kind of success, or has there been any changes to them since you last saw them quite a few weeks ago?
No, you know, I honestly kind of expect the same. I think that we saw from the start of that series that Portland was just going to dominate this team, quite frankly. I think that, you know, the one kind of guy that I'm curious to see, honestly, as a baseball fan, but, you know, it'll be Gage Wood, their top pitching prospect right now for the Phillies. He made his debut against Portland a few weeks ago, and you know, he looked pretty good. He's kind of seems to have locked things in a little bit since the Sea Dogs have last seen him. So it'll be interesting to see what he's done after a couple more double-A starts under his belt. But they have the same makeup of their top prospects with Arun Escobar, Dante Norrie as well. And, you know, Portland, for the most part, roster-wise, has stayed the same. We've had a couple promotions here and there, but right now the clubhouse is clicking. This group we have right now is hungry for the postseason, so I think that's a huge advantage, too, to say that this is a very similar Sea Dogs team that is facing this Reading team again for round two.
Yeah, that's certainly good news there. And do want to ask about one, of course, of the top prospects here as well. We've talked a lot about this year in Franklin Arias, who's been getting an awful lot of attention from a lot of Red Sox fans, rightly so, hitting around 400 to start the season, down to 311 for a batting average now, and his OPS is down below 1,000 for the first time here in a little while. Is this just everybody kind of catching up to him at this point, or is there cause for concern?
No, I think that things are starting to level out. I think we're seeing, quite frankly, a lot of the same teams two or three times already in the early goings of the season, which is not really a usual thing to start the year. So because we're seeing the same teams, they're seeing Franklin for multiple times and they're able to adjust. But, you know, I will say, like, it seems like he is able to adjust back. It's really fun to see the fact that he's putting the ball into play. We're not seeing, I don't even know if you would call it a slump, but last week he recorded 8 hits in his 5 games, which I think is still pretty is up there among the team leaders with hits for the week. But I think with him, you know, I think it's really positive that we're not seeing the strikeouts spike up. We're seeing him put the ball into play, just waiting on those pitches and making the best out of it. He made some incredible defensive plays last week that, you know, he makes them look so easy that I think that people don't recognize, hey, this is a major league caliber shortstop making these plays in Portland right now. We need to kind of respect that a little bit more and enjoy it while we have it, because he's a special talent that is definitely going to do some big things.
Yeah, and it's interesting you bring up that, like, matchups, because they see, I mean, I'm looking at you guys have played Hartford every single month and you play them twice this month. So, I mean, you're playing them 4 times in a span of 4 months, and it's obviously a 6-game series, so you can do the math there on just how often these hitters are having to see and kind of get reps against these other teams. Who do you think it benefits more? Do you think it does have more of a benefit to the pitcher when they get to see a batter so many more times, even when it's not head-to-head with them, right? And I know you could say the same about the pitchers, so I'm very interested from your perspective who you think might have the advantage in a league like this. And I do think it's got to be what makes this league so difficult, Emma, is as you talk about the familiarity everybody gets with each other as the season goes on.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's a case-by-case basis of who has the advantage. I think in some cases you can see that the pitchers clearly have are clearly relying on their off speeds for hitters and stuff like that. But I think with a guy like Arias, we have seen pitchers try new things against him, but he always finds way to put the ball into play, to hit those walk-off home runs or come through as a pinch hitter. You know, I think with a guy like Arias, he's special because even if he has that two-strike count, he's going to somehow find a way to get a hit. And I think that that's one of the things that impresses me the most is you might write off some hitters if they are down 0-2 or 1-2. But with Arias, it seems like that's just when he's getting started. I think that's, you know, I don't know if he does it on purpose, but it seems like he, you know, puts the pitcher on notice and makes the pitcher get him out and to finish that at bat if he is down to that two strike count. But you know, I think the familiarity thing is odd. We saw, I feel like, New Hampshire about 100 times in the 2021 season. But you know, it's tough to say really who has the advantage. I know the Sea Dogs always go back and they have, you know, all the technology and looking at opposing hitters constantly, whether we're on the bus or looking at previous at-bats. But I think I may give a slight advantage to the pitcher, but I wouldn't really give that slight advantage if it's a pitcher. Clenarius, I'll give him the advantage every day.
There you go. Again, we're speaking with Emma Tiedemann, Portland Sea Dogs broadcast voice. They are in Reading to take on the Fightin' Phils for six games starting tonight. And, of course, you know, part of the trajectory of baseball and everything in that is of course, sometimes you get major success, but sometimes you need to work on a few things. And need to ask about one guy who I know was around the Sea Dogs in your first year as the broadcaster, who's been up in Boston now, but has just been sent back to Worcester to work on some things, and that's Brian Baio. What do you make of what's happened with him this season, and do you think he's going to be able to correct what's wrong now that he gets to be in a little less pressure at the AAA level?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think that Baio is a good reminder that these guys are still young in their careers. Maybe not as much Baio as, you know, Roman or Marcelo, but, you know, I think with Baio, we had seen this when he came back to Portland that second season. He was called up from Greenville with the Sea Dogs, kind of was up and down, struggled a little bit, and then came back that second year and just had a completely different mentality. You could tell he had matured a lot. He was more of kind of like a bulldog presence on the mound, and just was a little bit of a different air about him, if that makes sense. And we saw that second year and second time with him. He threw a no-hitter, and I remember in watching him pitch in Hartford following the no-hitter. I think he had five more no-hit innings following that, and just thinking, this is a big league Baio. And so I think that this will be good for him. You know, it seems like those couple of days after his demotion and before that press conference he had in Worcester on Sunday, I think that, you know, I think it was humbling to him. I think that we're seeing, I think it was good to know his emotions behind it and that he's taking this seriously. I'm curious to know who he's talking to, the kind of no-name figure that he alluded to with helping him mentally and mechanically. But, you know, it seems like he's got some good people in his corner. He's got a great head on his shoulders. And if he handles himself like he did in Portland when he was so much younger, you know, I think that this is the kind of guy who can take this demotion seriously, build upon it, and he'll be right back up in Boston.
Yeah, and speaking of those promotions and demotions, how do you feel Chad Epperson has done? I know he's gotten some criticism for having the hot hand waving guys home, but whether it's on the field or off it when he's doing it, he's brought in some excitement, at least for me, to watch him there. What have you guys thought about his promotion? I know it's tough to be called up into the situation him and Chad Tracy and Flo were kind of brought up into, but how do you think they've all done in this kind of role where, again, they've really just been thrown to the wolves?
Yeah, I mean, kudos to them, honestly. You know, getting that call, and I'll never really forget that day of their promotions, I think, in my professional career. But, yeah, you know, I think that no one expected for Chad Tracy to manage the Red Sox. Epi never expected to be managing and coaching third base for the big league club. You know, at third base with Portland, he was making sure his guys are developing right and doing the right things in the box and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, I think with the tools that they were given and the team that they're working with right now, I think they're doing great. You know, I think Epi getting some attention on social media for wandering onto the field, I think is just very Epi. And you know, he did his research. He talked to former third base coaches there, and I don't blame him. You can't see down that third base line, so or left field line. So, you know, I'm always going to be rooting for Epi. I know that behind the scenes, he's working to get better every day and working with his guys. And, you know, he's a player-first coach, player-first manager. He'd do anything for those guys. So I'm rooting for him all the way.
Yeah, and you're right. It absolutely sparked the conversation on social media, and I think it got a lot of baseball, even, like, purists wondering, like, wait, can he even do that? You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
I think it really did, because I didn't know if you could either. So it did. It kind of brought up the old rules of baseball. Everybody dusted off the book for a little bit for that one, and it did. It made the rounds on social media. I thought and honestly, more of a positive way, I thought a lot of people found it funny. I know I found it hysterical. I was like, good for you, Epi. Way to make the most of that. I mean, you got to critically think in that situation. He clearly is a good critical thinker. I mean, Emma pointed out, you can't see down left field like that. I mean, what else are you going to do? You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And he was doing the best. He was trying to figure out, you know, the right decision, whether or not to send the guy. And he was going to send his guy, and he was going to make sure he could see that baseball. So, yeah. And I, you know, I think it's funny, too, after that video went viral, I was watching the coaches in our coaching boxes for both Portland and Hartford. And let me tell you, no one stays in the box anymore. people are all over the place. So Effie's not the first. He won't be the last to do something like that. But, yeah, I'm glad it did bring to light a baseball rule that I think we all should have known, honestly. So it's good.
There you go. Sometimes we all need some re-education, right? Emma Tiedemann, Portland Sea Dogs broadcast voice. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll hear from you in Reading tonight.
Awesome. Thanks so much, guys.
You got it. Again, Emma Tiedemann, broadcast voice of the Portland Sea Dogs. They'll begin that series against the Reading Fightin' Phils tonight at 7 o'clock, pregame at 6:45 over on your home for Portland Sea Dogs baseball. That is the Double 95s, 95.5 and 95.9 FM. Phone lines will be open for you when we return. It's our Heidi's Brooklyn Deli Lunch Hour on middays with Mannix and Mannix.
96.3 brings you the PM Jab. Weekdays from 2 to 6.